I notice, I think I missed a birthday too. Were you guys here earlier? Sam has a birthday, right? Is that today? Wow. How old is Sam? 8? Very good. I didn't see you guys earlier, and maybe you were here and I just was blind, but I missed that one. So say happy birthday to Sam if you see him. All right. Matthew chapter 16, please. Let's stand together as we begin. And we're going to begin in verse 13. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples. This is a question that Jesus poses to his disciples, and it's a question I'd like us to focus on today. And Jesus asks, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others." By the way, Elias would be Elijah. And others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then Jesus asks them directly. He asks his disciples specifically. He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter, answering for the disciples, said, "Thou art the Christ." That's Christos. It's the Greek word Christos. It means the anointed one. It's the Greek name, the Greek word for Messiah. The Hebrew word is Mashiach, which means also the anointed one. And Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the one promised in the Old Testament in fulfillment of his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This morning, I want us to consider the question, who is Jesus? I've entitled the message this morning, "Jesus on Trial." Lord, liar, or lunatic? Jesus on trial. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you will help us as we look at this text and some others. I pray that your truth would be proclaimed. Not my opinions, not my words, but that your word would be spoken this morning. Lord, I pray that you would speak to your people and that you would speak to those who maybe are not yet your people, your children. And so speak to us, I pray, this morning in this hour that we have together. As we open the scriptures, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. There are questions, and then there are questions. Some questions are not really that important. Some questions are not very significant. But then there are those questions that are essential. There are those questions that make a world of difference. They are the important questions, the big questions. There was a question asked several years ago in an interview that was done. And I don't mean to offend anybody when I name names. I'm just using this as an illustration. So if you're offended when people name names, I'm sorry, but I'm going to bring up this article and this interview just by way of illustration. But there was an interview done of Joel Osteen a few years ago, and he was asked a question. He was going around and interviewing with several people, promoting a book that he'd recently written at that time, and now it's several years old, but the title of the book is entitled Breakout, Five Keys to Go Beyond Your Barriers and Live an Extraordinary Life. Now, I'm not real sure what that has to do with Christianity. Getting beyond your barriers, living an extraordinary life. I'm not sure how that has to do with Christ and Christianity. But he was promoting this book, and in this interview, the interviewer read a portion of this book, and he said this. This is the quote from the book written by Joel Osteen. It doesn't matter who likes you or who doesn't like you. All that matters is God likes you. He accepts you. He approves of you. The interviewer asked, after he read that quote from Joel Osteen's book, the interviewer asked if God likes you and all that matters is that God likes you, he accepts you, he approves of you, he asked, does that include homosexuals? His instant response was absolutely. That God accepts and approves of homosexuals. Osteen went on to say, I believe that God has breathed his life into every single person. Okay, we are created in the image of God. He did create man as a living being. He breathed into Adam's nostrils, the breath of life. Man became a living soul. The Bible says that. But I'm not sure that he's breathed spiritual life into every individual, every single person. He goes on to say, we're all on a journey. Nobody's perfect. So essentially, God accepts everyone. God approves everyone in their sin. It doesn't matter, according to Joel Osteen. That's a significant question that he was asked. And there are these questions that come up in life that are, there are some that are important, there are some that are more important than others. I don't want to focus on Joel Osteen. I don't want to focus on homosexuality. That's not the point. But just to say this, that there are important questions in life. There are some questions that are bigger, that are weightier, that are more significant than other questions. I imagine after we get done this morning that you're probably going to go eat lunch someplace. And let's suppose this afternoon that after we leave here, you decide you're going to go out, you're going to take your family out to eat. You sit down at the restaurant and you open up the menu. And you look at the menu and you're trying to decide what you're going to eat for lunch today off of this menu. Probably that's not as significant of a question as what is the meaning of life or what is your purpose in life? Or maybe recently, my wife and I were shopping for a new car. And we were talking about for quite some time, a week or so, I don't know how long it took us, a week and a half to decide on a car, but we had been discussing about what we wanted to buy. You know, how much can we spend? What do we want? You know, and we got down to talking about what color do we want our new car to be? And oh, I don't want black, and I don't want silver. Well, we went to several dealerships, and we found this car that was. We liked the car, we liked what it had, we liked the features and so on, but it was silver. Well, we ended up, you know, the dealership, they knew that we liked the car, and they were, you know, haggling with us on the price, and they gave us a lot of discounts, and we finally decided, yes, we'll purchase the car for that price because we liked the car. It just was the wrong color. And so we ended up buying a silver car because color to us wasn't that big of a deal. I don't think the color of a new car is a very important question as compared to, say, how did we come to be here? How was this world come in, how did it come into existence? Was it by evolution? Was it by creation? There are more important questions than others. And this morning, as we consider this passage, I want us to consider this question, who is Jesus? Some would say that he's a fraud. Some would say that he's a liar. Some might say that he's a criminal. Some concluded that he's a crazy lunatic. A lot of people would say that he was a good man, a prophet, maybe one of many gods. Some conclude that. So who is Jesus? This question permeates the entire Gospel of John, and we're going to look at some verses in the Gospel of John. Well, this is our main text here in Matthew, but John, if you read through, I was surprised when I was reading through the Gospel of John this week and preparing this message, I was surprised how much this question comes up over and over and over. It seems that this is the theme and the focus of the Gospel of John, in my opinion. The entire Gospel of John focuses on this question, who is Jesus? The person and nature of who Jesus is the main thrust and key theme that is interwoven throughout the entire book. If you will, please hold your finger in Matthew, because we'll come back to this, but I'd like to look at many verses in the Gospel of John. If you will, please turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And John begins his gospel where he ends. Chapter 1 and verse 1, John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Of course, there would be some Jehovah's Witnesses would say, well, that, you know, the Word was a God. And that's their conclusion, although I don't know how you could possibly come to that conclusion when you actually read the Gospel of John, because the entire Gospel of John sets out to prove that Jesus was God. The same was in the beginning with God, John says. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In verse number 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In verse 29 of the same chapter, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So here is John the Baptist, not the author of the Gospel of John, but John the Baptist, as he is ministering there, and he points out to Jesus and declares, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." In verse 34, it says, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Again, the next day after John, speaking of John the Baptist, "stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God." As I said, John begins his gospel where he ends. If you will, turn all the way to chapter 20 and verse 30. Chapter 20 and verse 30. The Gospel of John is not one of the gospels that we call the synoptic gospels. The synoptic gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and because they are very similar. They have a lot of similar content and the way they're structured. The Gospel of John is different. It's very unique in the sense it doesn't have any of the parables. It contains seven of the miracles of Jesus Christ. And five of those seven are unique to the Gospel of John. I believe John includes these seven miracles in his gospel intentionally to prove who Jesus is. I believe this is the main thrust of his gospel. And so he ends his book, or towards the end of his book, his gospel. In chapter 20 and verse 30, John says this, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." In fact, at the end of chapter 21, he says, if they were all written, the books of the world couldn't contain everything that Jesus did. But he says in verse 31, "But these are written, why? That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Mashiach, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." So who is Jesus? This is the question that Jesus himself asks his disciples in Matthew chapter 16. Look back with me, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. Jesus says, the scriptures say, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?'" In verse 15, he asked the disciples directly, "Whom say ye that I am?" So who is Jesus? I want us to notice, first of all, that this is a question that results in many answers. This question, all throughout the ages of time, has resulted in many different answers, many different conclusions, many different responses. It has caused much confusion, much speculation, not only in biblical times, not only in Jesus' time, but even in our own modern day. There are many different people that answer this question in many different ways. Who is Jesus? Notice in verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Verse 14, "And they said, 'Well, some say you're John the Baptist.'" Of course, John the Baptist at this time would have been killed. And maybe it was John the Baptist raised from the dead. Some say, well, Jesus is Elijah come back from the dead. Or others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And so this question has resulted in many different answers. This question causes much confusion and speculation. Recently, there was an interview done of all people, Donald Trump. An interview conducted by Cal Thomas. And he asked Trump, he said, "What is your basic philosophy and worldview?" Trump's response was that he grew up with great parents, went to great schools, and that to him, education was very important. What? What does that have to do with your philosophy and worldview? I don't know. But Thomas wanted to get more specific, and so he pressed him and he said, he asked him another question, and an important question. He said, "Every president has called upon God at some point. Lincoln spoke of not being able to hold the office of the presidency without spending time on his knees. You have confessed that you are a Christian. I ask you the question Jesus asked of Peter." And this is Cal Thomas speaking to Donald Trump. He says, "I ask you the question Jesus asked of Peter, who do you say he is?" And Trump responded in these words, and I quote, "Jesus to me is somebody I can think about for security and confidence. Somebody I can revere in terms of bravery and in terms of courage. And because I consider the Christian religion so important, somebody I can totally rely on in my own mind." That's Jesus? Apparently, to Donald Trump, that's who Jesus is. So this question is answered in many different ways. This question to some is, well, he's a God, according to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Some would say, even in our modern day, that they don't even know that Jesus historically existed. Or if he did, he's certainly not the Jesus that the Bible portrays, divine. You know, the disciples, those that the authors of Scripture just kind of made this up. So this question, who is Jesus, is a very important question. But this question is results in many different answers. Turn with me, back to the Gospel of John, John chapter 3, and we're going to look at many verses here, but we'll try to step through this quickly, if you will. I want you to see that there are many occurrences where this question is either directly asked or is kind of behind the story and is answered in many different ways. Notice in John chapter 3 and verse 1, there's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. We're familiar with Nicodemus. Well, right here in this first passage with Nicodemus in verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God. So he's answering this question, who is Jesus? You're a teacher come from God, for no man doeth these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Nicodemus is wondering, who is this guy? Who are you? In chapter 4 and verse 19, if you will please flip over to chapter 4, verse 19. The woman saith unto him, and this is the woman at the well speaking, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. So Nicodemus is thinking, well, he's a teacher come from God. This woman at the well, I perceive you are a prophet. Verse 25, the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. So she's wondering, you know, at this point, she's not sure who this is. She's not sure that this is the Messiah, but she says, I know that Messiah, according to the scriptures, is going to come. This Messiah, the Christ, is going to come, and he'll tell us all things. And Jesus says, I that speak unto thee am he. In chapter 5 and verse 18, therefore, if you'll give you a chance to flip over there, a page or two, chapter 5 and verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father and maketh himself equal with God. They didn't like the fact that he made himself equal with God, that he claimed to be God, and so they were going to kill him. They didn't accept that answer of who Jesus was. Flip over to chapter 6 and verse 14. Chapter 6 and verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, this is right after the feeding of the 5,000, they said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. So they were looking for this Messiah that was going to be a political revolutionary that would be able to sit on the throne of David, make them a great nation, free them from the oppression of the Romans. This is who they thought Jesus was. And there will be a time where he will come and reign on David's throne. He will sit as king on the throne. But that was not the time for Jesus at his first coming. And in verse 41 of the same chapter, chapter 6 and verse 41, after you have some more dialogue and Jesus explains some more, he talks about that I am the bread of life, Jesus says. In verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? And so this is... He's just a common person. He's just a man. This is the guy that we know, Jesus, who was born of Joseph and Mary. In verse 52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves. And now they're arguing with each other. Who is this guy? We don't know who this guy is. Who is he? Verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. When they found out that, oh, this is not the guy who's going to rescue us from the Romans, this is not the guy who's going to be a political revolutionary for us, they decided we don't care about him. Chapter 7 and verse 1, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. They wanted to kill him because He claimed to be God. They viewed him as a blasphemer. In verse 5, chapter 7, verse 5, for neither did his brethren believe in him. Even his own family didn't believe Jesus and who he was. In verse 12, and there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, he is a good man. Others said, no, nay, but he deceiveth the people. So some were arguing, well, he's a good man. And some were arguing, no, he's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a crook. Going around deceiving people. Chapter 7, verse 20, the people answered and said, thou hast a devil. You're crazy. Now they're saying, Jesus, you're crazy. You got some screws loose upstairs. You know, I mean, you're insane. In chapter 7, verse 25, then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, in other words, do they think that he's the Messiah? They're asking this question. Do the rulers, do the Jewish rulers think that he's the Messiah? But they go on to say, howbeit, we know this man whence he is. We know where he came from. We know that he was from Joseph and Mary. We know that he's from Nazareth. We know where he came from. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Nobody knows where he's going to come from. And so this can't be him. They're rejecting the idea that he's the Christ, that he is the Messiah. In chapter 7 and verse 40, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? This can't be him. Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And even the Pharisees in the following verses, verse 44 and 45, and they were arguing amongst themselves of who Jesus was. In chapter 8 and verse 25, then said they unto him, they asked him directly, who art thou? In verse 30, as he spoke these words, many believed on him. But then down in verse 39 in chapter 8, they answered and said unto him, Abraham's our father. In other words, the idea, we don't know who you are, we don't know, but we're Jewish. Abraham's our father, we don't know about you, Jesus. They were questioning his Jewish heritage. In fact, in verse 41, notice, they say to him, ye do the deeds of your, or Jesus says, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. Oh, now they're starting to get ugly. They're implying here that Jesus was born illegitimately. We're not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. In verse 48, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan? So you're a Samaritan, you're a half-breed, you're a half-Jew, and you have a devil, you're crazy. In verse 52, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. So in this dialogue back and forth, and they're trying to figure out who are you, and they're asking him the question directly, and they conclude that, you know what, you're just crazy. And in verse 53, they asked him, who are you making yourself out to be? At the end of the verse. In verse 59, they take up stones to kill him. In chapter 9, in verse 16, chapter 9 and verse 16, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. It goes on in chapter 9, chapter 10. I have several verses. I'm going to skip down just for sake of time. But if you'll go down to flip over to chapter 12 and verse 37. Chapter 12 and verse 37. The Bible says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. You go all the way to John chapter 8. And Pilate himself asks Jesus the question, art thou the king of the Jews? This question permeates the book. And people are questioning, who is this guy? Even Pilate, when he's talking with Jesus, so are you the king of the Jews or aren't you? And Jesus responded to Pilate, and sayest this thing of thyself, or do others tell it thee of me? And so this question, who is Jesus, is a question that has many answers. It results in many different answers. Who is Jesus? Well, some say he is one of many gods. Some say he's a prophet, just like Abraham or Muhammad or Joseph Smith. He's equal, just like one of those great prophets. Some say he's a moral teacher. This question results in many answers. But if you will, look back in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15. This question that Jesus poses to his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he poses directly to the disciples. He says in verse 15, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Not only is this a question that causes or results in many answers, but it is a question that demands an answer of you. It demands an answer from you and me. Simon Peter answered, verse 16 says. He answers for the disciples. He answers for himself. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So who is this Jesus? This question must be answered. It's not a question that we can just overlook. It's not a question that we can just ignore. This question must be answered personally. This question must be answered by every man, woman, and child that's ever walked the face of this earth. This question must be answered by you and me. It has to be answered personally. Jesus asks his disciples, whom say ye that I am? So who is this Jesus? This question must be answered personally, but also I would say this, this question will be answered eventually. Not only must it be answered personally, but it will be answered eventually. It is inevitable that you and I will answer this question. Who is Jesus? It's that kind of a question. It's not what are you going to have for lunch today? It's who is this man, Jesus? The one who claimed to be the Messiah, the Christ. The one who claimed to be the Son of God. The one who claimed to be divine. This question will be answered eventually. It is inevitable. This question cannot be ignored. It cannot be dismissed. It cannot be deflected. And it cannot be delayed forever. We will all answer this question. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10 says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. There is coming a day when each of us will stand before God, and we will either answer this question of who is Jesus now, or we will answer the question of who is Jesus then. Because we will stand before God one day, and we will answer that question. Every knee shall bow to me. Every tongue shall confess to God. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You see, there's going to be a judgment for everyone. There's two major judgments in the scriptures that the scriptures describe. There's some other judgments, but two main judgments that the scriptures describe. One is the judgment seat of Christ, which is for believers. And the other is the great white throne judgment. Paul the Apostle tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Revelation chapter 20 describes what is called the great white throne judgment. And it says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, we will all stand before God one day. We will all answer to God one day. We will all answer this question one day. Who is Jesus? It is a question that causes many different answers, but it is a question that demands an answer. You and I will answer this question. A very well-known theologian, C.S. Lewis, I'm sure you've heard of him, he said this. Because, by the way, you cannot just conclude that, oh, he was a nice guy. He's a good example for us to follow. I entitled my message, Jesus on Trial, Lord, Liar, or Lunatic? And C.S. Lewis, basically, his argument is, those are your only choices. You can't argue that Jesus was a nice guy or that he was a good prophet because he claimed many, many times to be God. He claimed to be the Christ, the Mashiach, the Messiah, in fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. And so C.S. Lewis says this, I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, that I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing you must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he's a poached egg. Yeah, I find that funny too. Or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. And let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Now it seems to me obvious that he was neither a lunatic nor a fiend. And consequently, however strange or terrifying or unlikely it may seem, I have to accept the view that he was and is God. You have no way around it. The question of who is this Jesus is a question that has many different answers throughout the ages of time, but is a question that cannot be avoided. It demands an answer. If you look with me back at our text in Matthew chapter 16, Peter, speaking for the disciples, answers the question. He gives his answer, and he says in verse 15, Jesus saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the living God. Not only is this a question that causes or results in many different answers, Not only is it a question that demands that we answer, but it is a question that requires the right answer. It requires the right answer. Because this is not just, what am I going to eat for lunch today? This is a question that has eternal consequences. If you'll look with me, and we're going to walk through a few more verses of John, and then we'll conclude this morning. John chapter 1, please, if you will. John chapter 1 and verse 40. You see, this question was answered in the right way many times throughout the Gospel of John. And these are just a handful. I challenge you to read the Gospel of John with this focus. Who is Jesus? It's amazing to me that this is the big question in the Gospel of John. John chapter 1 and verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak, as Jesus is calling his disciples, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. In other words, Christos, the Mashiach, the anointed one. So Andrew declares, we found the Messiah. We found the one who has been promised throughout the Old Testament scriptures. He runs to his brother Simon Peter and said, we found him. The one that the scriptures foretold. Same chapter, verse 45. Philip, now it's Philip. He finds Nathanael and says unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. We found him. He's come. Verse 49, Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Look with me at chapter 4, please. Chapter 4 and verse 29. We're not going to look as many verses as we did previously, but if you will, just bear with me. Chapter 4, verse 29. Now, this is remember the woman at the well? This is the woman at the well again. And she was telling Jesus, well, I know about the Messiah. He'll come and he's going to tell us all things. And Jesus declared unto her, the one who's speaking to you is him. I'm the guy. Notice her response in verse 29. She goes running back into the town and she says, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Isn't this the Messiah? Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them and abode there 2 days. Many more believed because of his own word. And they said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And so here all these Samaritans that came from this testimony of this, the woman at the well, now have believed and declare that indeed he is the Mashiach of the Old Testament. In John chapter 6, John chapter 6, in verse 66, we read earlier that at that time, after you have this big, long discourse between Jesus and the disciples, the throngs of people that came to him, and they began to become irritated with Jesus. They didn't like his answers. They reject him. And it says in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ. We're sure that you are the Messiah. You are the Mashiach of the Old Testament. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The next verse is a sad verse. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. Of course, verse 71 tells us he was speaking of Judas. Even one of the 12 disciples gave the wrong answer of who Jesus was. Peter says, yes, you're the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Jesus' immediate response was, but even one of you 12 is a devil. You see, we're all going to give an answer, but is it going to be the right answer? If you will bear with me a couple more verses, chapter 9, please. Chapter 9 and verse 35. Now we come to a man that was born blind. Jesus heals the blind man. The Pharisees didn't like it because it happened on the Sabbath, for one thing. For another thing, they were trying to figure out, well, how did he get healed? And who is this Jesus that healed you? And the Pharisees didn't like this, and so they cast the blind man out of the synagogue. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, Jesus found this blind man, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? See, he still didn't know who Jesus was. This blind man didn't. Jesus asked him, do you believe in the Son of God? And he says, Lord, who is he, so that I can believe on him? Verse 37, and Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. You're talking to him. How did he respond? The blind man says in verse 38, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And then a final passage in chapter 11, please. John chapter 11. Again, I challenge you to read through the Gospel of John with this focus in mind. Verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, and this is Martha, okay? Lazarus has died. Jesus has now come. Martha's in tears, weeping. Oh no, what are we going to do? If you had only been here, Jesus, you could have kept him from dying. Jesus says unto her in verse 23, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And so Martha declares, yes, I believe you are the Christ, the Mashiach, the one promised in the Old Testament, the one that was to come into the world. Who is Jesus? This question and how you respond to it has eternal consequences. This question is not just, what color do we want our new car to be today? What am I going to eat for lunch today? This question is the difference between salvation and damnation. This question is the difference between forgiveness and condemnation. This question is the difference between being a child of God and being a child of the devil. This question is the difference between eternal life and eternal death. This question is the difference between heaven and hell. That is the importance of this question, who is Jesus? It is a question that results in many different answers. It is a question that demands an answer. It must be answered personally, and it will be answered eventually by you and me. But it is a question that requires the right answer. There's no wiggle room. There is no compromise. And let me say this, there is no other way. Oh, all religions lead to God, right? We're all worshiping the same God, right? Well, who is Jesus? Who do you think Jesus is? Do you agree with Donald Trump? Do you agree with Jehovah's Witnesses? Do you agree with that, oh, we all worship the same God? Do you agree with the relative society in which we live? Jesus didn't agree with that. Jesus himself declared in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. There is no compromise. There is no wiggle room. You must answer the question the right way. In John chapter 20 and verse 30, we looked at this earlier. There were many other signs that Jesus did. But John says, these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. This morning, Jesus stands on trial. Who is he? You are the judge. What is your verdict? Is Jesus who he claims to be? One day, it will be you standing on trial. Jesus himself will sit as the judge. What will his verdict be? It all depends on your answer to this question. Who is Jesus? You will give an answer. Who is Jesus? What will your answer be? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for sending